going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely,
so stay tuned. Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you, all of you, for joining us today. Now, young people represent the fastest growing demographic in Africa. Many are already economically active, some motivated by necessity to help their families, others to make ends meet in economically challenging times. Others are just realizing the power that lies within ownership of wealth that you create from bottom up without seeking employment, but just creating your own wealth. And that's why you find in many African capitals, hordes of young people either hawking small stuff or small wares on the street, working in public transportation as drivers of KKs or border borders, you know, and starting other little businesses here and there to sell stuff or provide services. But on the other hand, we also have other youth who are starting businesses to address much more complex issues like healthcare, education, and many others. And their startups are facilitated by the increased access to technology across the continent, like a young writer, for example, in Senegal, who will be on the show. He started an online platform where African writers can share their work by selling their books. Another example is a young engineer in Kenya who is building drones from recycled material, and many others. And what we see really is that even though many of these young entrepreneurs lack the resources and skills, they have an enduring spirit. So what they don't have in skills and resources, they make up for in spirit. And that's why it is important that they are given support. And that support can come in many forms. For example, access to funding, access to networking, access to knowledge, and many others. And that's what we're going to get into right here on the show. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Stay tuned. Let's start off with listening to some of your opinions on our topic today.
Entrepreneurship is a little harder because it's a business that either you can start it with a capital or you can get assistance from the government or from other sectors who are concerned about the business elaboration, you know, like other humanitarian organizations who are able to, you know, give funding. Like, for example, it's called these Microsoft loans banks which loan people. Those are the things that you can actually start off. And you are not literally just shying off, but they have the difficulties of thinking of how to start.
My name is Anthony Moga in Juba, South Sudan. When I look at the situation of youths getting away from businesses or they feel shy, in South Sudan, what I look at, many youths are not informed. They really don't have much idea on what they can do. The ideas are still limited. Maybe perhaps with the effect of the war, many things they're expecting the government to give them.
Why African youth shy away somehow? It is the discouragement of the whole business. You find that if you don't have a capital, how do you run the business?
For me, there are no statistics that tells me that young people don't want to do business. Challenges, maybe because there's no capital, how to start the business. I'm quite sure there are young people who actually want to be independent, they want to do their business. If you can see in the street of Juba, you have this black market, young people, it's all young people.
Welcome to Upfront, the Voice of America. We're still talking about entrepreneurship, young entrepreneurs, the prospects, the challenges, and the opportunities that are available for young entrepreneurs on the continent. This is a topic, this is a subject that we love talking about right here on Upfront because we recognize the importance of entrepreneurship on the African continent. And we also recognize that It is a bedrock of many of our economies around the continent or around the world for that matter. But most importantly, that young Africans are actually waking up to the idea that they can create jobs for themselves through these innovative ideas that solve critical problems, critical challenges in their communities, and in effect create employment for themselves and for those around themselves as they continue to figure out how to advance their societies, to develop both economically, socially, and politically. Now, for the past 6 years, the Global Entrepreneurship Summit has been a platform where entrepreneurs from around the world gather to network and inspire each other through collaboration and mentorship. And like I said earlier, since entrepreneurs form the foundation of any given country's economy, it is important that in this interconnected world that we live in, that entrepreneurs learn the value in collaboration and networking with each other as they work to meet their local and global challenges. And one of the people who is working in this field of connecting and mentorship for young African entrepreneurs is Stephen Ozoigbo. He is the CEO of the African Technology Foundation, an organization based in the Silicon Valley here in the U.S. Ozoigbo tells me that he hopes to create more connections between the Silicon Valley resources and the African tech sector. I reached him in San Francisco.
We are a Silicon Valley corporation that seeks to globalize African technologies and introduce foreign technologies to the African ecosystem. We do this through a series of programs, initiatives, and activities that really want to showcase Africa's ingenuity and allow for African entrepreneurs to thrive.
Is there such a thing as African technology?
There is. To the extent that technology is just, by definition, a way of doing things better, African technology by definition, is looking at innovation that's centered on the African ecosystem or that is contextualized to the African ecosystem. So, to a certain extent, it's not a broad definition than it is a context to which both words can be used.
And why is it important to take African tech companies to the Silicon Valley?
It's important because when we look at the global effect of technology, the world now is flat. The internet has made the world very flat. And from an African standpoint, Africa as a continent did not go through all of the economic revolutions of the past, but we are now front and center with this new knowledge-based revolution, and we're leapfrogging a lot of legacy infrastructure technology-wise. So when you have a continent of very young, smart, industrious, and entrepreneurial folks, it's very important to us that we expose them to global best practices and we expose them to global innovations and operations and activities that would allow them now come back to the continent and really accelerate and catalyze some of the things they're doing. On a human resource level, we think that that would be very important to also support and influence local ecosystems as well. Because when you learn how to do stuff, say, for example, how to scale a company, I mean, there are a lot of small businesses around the world. But when you're building a technology company that is going to be globally renowned or have a global service platform, there's a science and an art to scaling that. So we want to be able to teach them how to do that and show them how it's been done.
Stephen Ozoigbo is the CEO of the African Technology Foundation. We'll be right back with more of our conversation with him later on. But first, let's listen to your opinions on that topic today.
My name is Anthony Moga in Juba, South Sudan. When I look at the situation of youths getting away from businesses or they feel shy, in South Sudan, what I look at, many youths are not informed. The ideas are still limited. Maybe perhaps with the effect of the war, many things they're expecting the government to give them.
I think government has a huge responsibility of making sure that its people are standing on their own in terms of business, and that can be achieved by maybe setting up deliberate policies of encouraging people to do business on their own.
I understand that they do so because they are lacking incentives and role models.
I have a different view on that one. It's not that they shy away from being entrepreneurs, but they don't have the right prerequisite to entrepreneurship skills. I'll give you an example. It's just recently that most of the schools in Africa have introduced entrepreneurship education in their syllabuses just now. So it's about that they don't know what entrepreneurship is about. I think the government should still incorporate entrepreneurship subjects at starting at the lower level, from the senior primary schools up to secondary schools, and then they should try to put it as a priority in the college, so that whoever comes out from the university should have learned the entrepreneurship, so that he should be able to find the right fit himself or herself.
Thanks for joining us on Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg. We're talking about African youth and entrepreneurship on the show today. Now, research shows that many young people on the continent often have these great creative ideas but are lacking access to the basic requirements to enact those ideas, to start a business. There's a general lack of access to financial services, business connections, education training, and mentorship and support systems. Sadly, that's the truth, that many young people find they don't have access to those essential tools if they are to make a success of their business idea.
Welcome back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. On the phone with me is Stephen Ozoigbo. He's an advisor to young entrepreneurs. He's also the CEO of the African Technology Foundation, an organization that is based out of the Silicon Valley. And he's currently in San Francisco, where I reached him.
There are many young tech entrepreneurs on the continent right now. Many of that will be coming to the Global Entrepreneurship Summit. If you were to advise a young techpreneur, what would you tell them they need most? Do they need skills mostly, or do they need capital?
They need a hybrid of both, but I would say more on the skills side. And not so much as skills, than just what I call resources, knowledge resources, entrepreneurial resources, and sometimes even human resources in terms of mentorship and advisory, because the capital conversation is also a resource. So there is human capital, there's financial capital, right? And on the human capital side, you're not just looking at the skill sets, you're also looking at teams and advisors and mentors and partners. Right. And some of these folks, we want to be able to open up those doors for conversations in Silicon Valley. The diaspora in Silicon Valley are a critical part of Africa's future. We want to have this connection platform between top Africans who are doing well in most of these tech companies in Silicon Valley, and have them see what our young brothers and sisters are doing coming out of the continent. And this is all before any check is written. Right. This is just really looking at a situation where we understand both sides of the game. And then finally, when it all comes together and the opportunities are clear and some of these companies are vetted, then we go into the financial capital conversation. So I don't leave these conversations with money. Most of the time, there are other gaps to be filled before we get to the money conversation.
Okay. Now, this is not the first Global Entrepreneurship Summit. The last one was in Nairobi. What are you looking forward to this time around?
This year at GES, we are absolutely looking to build on what we've done in the last year. Last year in Kenya, it was great for President Obama to be in his ancestral homeland and to bring a lot of focus to African technology innovation and all of the renaissance coming out of Africa. This year, we're doing the reverse. We're bringing Africa to the home base, or so the land of innovation, so to speak, in Silicon Valley. So we are putting together a week-long innovation tour on behalf of the U.S. State Department for selected companies from Demo Africa, which is the largest technology launchpad summit in Africa. And we want to be able to do this to show Silicon Valley what Africa has to offer. Because, again, Africa is misunderstood as a continent, and sometimes it's not enough for guys like me to encourage Silicon Valley to come to Africa. Sometimes for these bridges to be built, we have to build it this way as well. And this is a phenomenal opportunity. mm-hmm. for the African startups to be there. We also want to use this opportunity to stimulate a lot of diaspora activity on the continent, because we feel that the more we are able to get some of our expats and repats to look at Africa favorably, especially those in technology and entrepreneurship, then a lot of these folks back home who are really building frugal and building very socially social entrepreneurship type companies and socially conscious companies and building out of all of the constraints in Africa can now get some measure of reprieve from all of the support that would come from that, their diaspora brothers and sisters. This is critical for us on this trip because it's not enough for us to bring companies to Silicon Valley. If they get there and they're not properly acculturated, they're not properly integrated, and they don't have the right networks, then it becomes a touristic trip. And we're not into tourism. We're into innovation.
And so what are some of these misconceptions that techpreneurs have to deal with when they're raising funds? And how can they counter some of them?
Well, I mean, the first one is the big one that, you know, re-educating folks that Africa is not a single country. It's 55 countries. So when a startup comes out of Nairobi and they're trying to showcase some innovation and ingenuity around their local market or even what might be the East Africa market, you know, you have a world where people are maybe reading bad news from Congo or reading bad news from other part of Africa, and that's their perspective of everything in Africa, right? And that kind of tilts what would be a risk assessment model, because if you're not having a proper risk assessment model to look at the isolated opportunity and maybe even make an addressable market based on certain parameters, then, you know, it skews all kinds of data. That conception is evolving, because Africa has come from a difficult past, but to a very, very progressive and largely ambitious future. So the political class is evolving in a positive manner. The economic classes are evolving, albeit with, you know, macroeconomic pressures. And then the entrepreneurial class, most importantly, you know, like I said, we are part of this new knowledge economy and this new knowledge revolution, the information revolution, where everything now is more at your fingertips than it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So all of those misconceptions come together, and we really have to address them. I call them the knowledge gaps, and we have to address the knowledge gaps on the Africa side and also address it on the foreign side. And to do this, you know, we lean on the diaspora, because these are folks who have brothers, sisters, family on the continent. Some of them came out of the continent at a young age or were born here. And we say to them, look, if we can't expect someone else to do this for us, and we need to aggregate ourselves and do it, especially those who are of a technology background.
Stephen Ozoigbo is the CEO of the African Technology Foundation. So figures show that there is an increasing number of grassroots or startup companies in Africa that many experts say are defying obstacles as they seek to bring their ideas to life. However, many of their stories go untold, either because they do not fit a certain existing narrative or they don't have the means and outreach to do so outside of their communities. One of the people trying to bring those stories to a global platform is Nosa Garrick. She's the producer of a TV series, My Africa Is. She will also be attending and screening some of the stories of young entrepreneurs in Africa at the Global Entrepreneurship Summit in San Francisco. Nosa, one of the main complaints that I've had from young entrepreneurs on the continent is that they lack a platform to where they can engage policymakers or government officials. Why do you think it is important to hear from these young entrepreneurs, for people who are involved in the policymaking decisions, in these important policymaking decisions?
So last year, the Global Entrepreneurship Summit was held in Kenya. And so that was a big deal. And it really highlighted Kenya as a platform or a space where entrepreneurs are able to thrive. Now that we're looking at the African continent a year later, we're talking about commodity slumps, prices in oil just dropping, prices in raw metals dropping. And you see a lot of the countries that were supposedly the fastest growing, Nigeria included, coming to a standstill. And it just points to a lesson that we hope government officials are taking away, and the need to diversify our African economies to be more than just suppliers of raw material, but actual suppliers of products and of finished products and also services. And a lot of these, this is all through entrepreneurship. Now, we're not saying that everyone is going to become an entrepreneur and we're going to save a country, but the idea of creating an economy and creating a foundation where you have individuals that are able to start businesses, you create a government that is business friendly, that is, there is not that much red tape to be able to start a business and to operate in your country, but you also provide your citizens with a foundation in education and the skills that would be necessary where they can work for someone's business or start a business. But this idea of solely relying on raw materials and not producing anything and not building up our people is an obvious, and we're currently living in a state where it shows that the countries are not going to succeed if that is our sole source of funding for our economies.
You've traveled quite extensively around the continent, met with some of these young entrepreneurs, some of them that will be at this year's summit. When you speak to them, what do they say are some of the challenges of being an entrepreneur on the continent as young people?
So if you look at our current film that is airing on PBS, we shot in Nairobi, like I said, last year. And one of the characters we spoke to was Moses Gichanga. And Moses, his business is a small robotics company. He's the sole proprietor of it. And what he's looking to do is create products that are locally Kenyan and are made in Kenya and made from parts that are accessible to Kenyans. And what he found as he was trying to build out this business is that he was working at it as a solo ranger because there was no one that could come in as a second engineer. Because a lot of kids he found were, not a lot of kids, but a lot of people in general, were engineers but didn't have the practical know-how of building. And he's someone that's self-taught, but when he was trying to grow out a business, it was not possible for him to find individuals that already had the skills. So he actually started training kids at a school in Kiambu County, which is where he's from, to become this kind of like army that would be able to support a business like his. Now, obviously, it's not that the students are ready to go and they're trained and things are going to go smoothly, but it pointed to the fact that there wasn't that human capital that he could easily just go and post up a job listing on any job site and say, I'm looking for a second engineer, I'm looking for a junior engineer to assist me, or I'm looking for someone who can help me grow out my business. That was not a possibility for him, that he had to go to a local school and start training kids in the practical aspects of physics so that they had some kind of foundation to build off of. And, you know, training individuals is a long-term profit, and that's one of the things that a lot of entrepreneurs feel they don't have, because it's not easy to put someone through a training. It's expensive, and those are foundations, and that's infrastructure that should already be there. And that is one of the things that we find is a typical complaint from a lot of entrepreneurs, is not just access to funding is a big thing, yes, but that access to human capacity to be able to contribute to their business and grow out their businesses is something that is lacking.
Okay, so you could actually have the money but not have the human resource or manpower to run the business itself.
Exactly.
What are some of the interesting stories that you have covered aside from, you've just told us about that the young man in Kenya? What other interesting stories or entrepreneurs?
We've covered stories from one of my favorite people is Bilicis Adebiyi-Abiola, and she's the founder of WeCyclers, and they're basically doing a cultural revolution of teaching Nigerians to take trash as valuable and teaching them to recycle it as opposed to just throwing trash on the ground, and certainly in plastics, which is just detrimental to the environment, as well as the guys from WoLab. And WoLab is a makerspace in Togo that created a platform for Afat Gniku to create the Wafat, which is a 3D printer that's made out of electronic waste. And they are based out of Togo, as I said. And I think that, you know, Togo is just such a small country that no one really sees on the map. And they're putting Togo on a map actively and joining, making them be a part of the conversation about innovation.
And obviously, My Africa Ease is going to be involved in this year's Global Entrepreneurship Summit. What are you looking forward to?
Well, we're going to be a part of a really great event happening at the Impact Hub in Oakland on the 22nd of June. And we're going to be screening our Nairobi episode, which is going to show the stories and the success and the challenges that entrepreneurs in Nairobi face, and also show some of the life and the essence of what it means to be young in Nairobi today. But what's also cool about the event is there's going to be speakers from Nairobi who are entrepreneurs, the founders of Simba Pay and Bamba POS and Car Parts Nigeria, the founder of Shop Zuva. These are all the different people that are going to be at the event. And so we're really excited to bring in the African voice through storytelling. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of panel discussions and workshops that are happening. But this is really going to be an event where individuals come to hear the stories about what it means to do business on the African continent and also watch what it's like to operate in what a truly one of, you know, the most bustling African cities feels like, looks like, sounds like through our documentary, My Africa is Alternative Nairobi.
Why is it important that the stories of these young people is told? And I'm asking this because there's obviously that existing narratives, the issue where we have existing narratives about the continent, which do not, as we know, often reflect or ignores the enterprising spirit of these young Africans.
Well, I can speak from my experience with My Africa is one of the things we try to do is search for the most untold stories that exist. And the reason we do that is because some of these stories might be great, they just don't have access to, like, the press or know, like, the importance of, like, communicating their story. And so we give these people a platform. That's what we try to do with what we have, is give them a voice and showcase what they're doing. Because, unfortunately, even though someone has a great idea, it's like the idea of if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, does it actually fall? It's like if no one actually hears about this idea, then how does it grow? How does it develop? Word of mouth is great, but being given a global platform is even better. And so the importance of it is really in putting them in front of a world audience, for them to share their stories, for people to know about them, and for investors to go, oh, my God, I wouldn't have known that, you know, and putting them in a place where maybe they wouldn't have gotten before if they didn't have access to the platform or the storytellers that are able to share their story. So to me, that's why we do what we do, because we really want to give them a voice that they may not have otherwise.
Nosa Garrick is the executive producer of My Africa Ease, a documentary series that tells some of the stories of young people on the African continent driving innovation and entrepreneurship, among others. She'll be attending and screening at this year's Global Entrepreneurship Summit in San Francisco. And on that note, we come to the end of the show today. Thank you very much for joining us. If you have any questions, comments, if you want to contribute to the show, our email is upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @upfrontafrica. You can also follow our social media pages on Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube, among others. We'll catch you next time, same time, right here on The Voice of America. Goodbye. Taking a hold on me. I need a one dance. Got an Hennessy in my hand. One more time for I go. High up, I was taking a hold on me.
VOA News. VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.